Chapter 1, titled Installation, begins on page 1 of the manual. This page begins with sort of a flowchart. First comment, install and connect an antenna system, parenthesis, page 1. Then we have a down arrow. Install a ground system that satisfies DC and RF grounding requirements, parenthesis, page 2. We have a down arrow. Install lightning protection to protect the antenna system, your personal safety, and your property, parenthesis, page 2. Another arrow. To install and connect a DC power supply, parenthesis, page 2. The next arrow. Connect all accessories to the transceiver, parenthesis, pages 3, 60. Accessories include the following, microphone, antenna tuner, CW key, computer, TNC slant, multi-mode communications processor, headphones, external speaker, RTTY equipment, linear amplifier. This concludes the flowchart description. Heading titled Antenna Connection. The type of the antenna system, consisting of the antenna, ground, and feed line, will greatly affect the successful operation of the transceiver. Use a properly adjusted 50 ohm antenna of good quality to let your transceiver perform at its best. Use a good quality 50 ohm coaxial cable and a first quality connector for the connection. Match the impedance of the coaxial cable and antenna so that the SWR is 1.5 to 1 or less. All connections must be clean and tight. While a transceiver's protection circuit will activate if the SWR is greater than 2.5 to 1, do not rely on protection to compensate for a poorly functioning antenna system. High SWR will cause the transmit output to drop and may lead to radio frequency interference to consumer products such as stereo receivers and televisions. You may even interfere with your own transceiver. Reports that your signal is garbled or distorted, especially at peak modulation, may indicate that your antenna system is not efficiently radiating the transceiver's power. If you feel a tingle from the transmitter's cabinet or the microphone's metal fittings when you modulate, you can be certain that, at the least, your coax connection is loose at the rear of the radio, and at the worst, your antenna system is not efficiently radiating power. Connect your antenna feed line to ANT1. If you are using two antennas, connect the second antenna to ANT2. Caution. Point. Transmitting without first connecting an antenna or other matching load may damage the transceiver. Always connect the antenna to the transceiver before transmitting. Point. Use a lightning arrestor to prevent fire, electrical shock, or damage to the transceiver. Subheading, approximate loss, parenthesized, dB, per 30 meters, parenthesized, 100 feet, of correctly matched 50 ohm line. Point, use only as a general guide. Specifications may vary between cable manufacturers. Now, for the listener, there is a very extensive, elaborate chart here that has four columns starting with the transmission line, the type of product apparently. The second column is 3.5 megahertz, the third column 14 megahertz, and the fourth column on the right 30 megahertz. It is so extensive and very, very difficult for me to read it to you, for you to copy it. I really do suggest that you get the help of an assistant person that can work through this list of approximate losses in dBs per 30 meters, 100 feet of correctly matched 50-ohm line. Going to page 2, heading ground connection. At the minimum, a good DC ground is required to prevent such dangers as electrical shock. For superior communications results, a good RF ground is required, against which the antenna system can operate. Both of these conditions can be met by providing a good earth ground for your station. Bury one or more ground rods or a large copper plate under the ground and connect this to the transceiver ground terminal, the GND terminal. Use heavy gauge wire or a copper strap cut as short as possible for this connection. Just as for antenna work, all connections must be clean and tight. A heading. Lightning protection. Consider carefully how to protect your equipment and your home from lightning. Even in areas where lightning storms are less common, there are usually a limited number of storms each year. Take the time to study the best way to protect your installation from the effects of lightning by consulting reference material on the subject. The installation of a lightning arrest store is a start, but there is more that you can do. For example, terminate your antenna system transmission lines at an entry panel that you install outside your home. Ground this entry panel to a good outside ground and then connect appropriate feed lines between the entry panel and your transceiver. When a lightning storm occurs, you can ensure added protection by disconnecting the feed lines from your transceiver. Caution. Do not attempt to use a gas pipe, which is clearly dangerous, an electrical conduit, which has the whole house wiring attached and may act like an antenna, or a plastic water pipe for a ground. Heading titled, DC Power Supply Connection. In order to use this transceiver, you will need a separate 13.8-volt DC power supply that must be purchased separately. Do not directly connect the transceiver to an AC outlet. Use the supply DC power cable to connect the transceiver to a regulated power supply. Do not substitute a cable with smaller gauge wires. The current capacity of your power supply must be 20.5A peak or more. Caution. Point. Before connecting the DC power supply to the transceiver, be sure to switch the transceiver and the DC power supply off. Point. Do not plug the DC power supply into an AC outlet until you make all connections. First, connect the DC power cable to the regulated DC power supply and check that polarities are correct. Parenthesis, red colon positive, black colon negative. Then connect the connectorized end of the DC power cable to the DC 13.8V power connector on the transceiver rear panel. Press the DC power cable connector firmly into the connector on the transceiver until the locking tab clicks. And for the listener, it shows the back side of the DC power supply and also the TS-50 transceiver and where those connections would go from the transceiver into a fuse holder and the fuse holder to the back of the DC power supply. Subsection, replacing fuses. If the fuse blows, determine the cause, then correct the problem. After the problem is resolved, only then replace the fuse. If newly installed fuses continue to blow, disconnect the power plug and contact your dealer or nearest service center for assistance. We have boxed information. two columns, column left side, fuse location, column right side, fuse current rating. Under fuse location, first line, TS570, fuse current rating 4A, parenthesized for an external antenna tuner. Line 2, under fuse location, supplied accessory cable, under fuse current rating 25A. That ends the boxed information. Beneath that, caution. Replace blown fuses only after investigating and correcting the cause of the failed fuse. Always replace a blown fuse with the new fuse with the specified ratings. Going to page 3 of Chapter 1 Installation. Page 3. Accessory Connections. Front Panel. Headphones, parenthesized, phones. Use headphones having 4 to 32 ohm impedance. You can also use stereo headphones. When headphones are used, no sound is heard from the internal or optional external speaker. Use a 6.0 millimeter, that's 1/4 inch diameter, two-conductor mono or three-conductor stereo plug. Microphone, parenthesized MIC. To communicate into voice modes, connect to the mic connector, a microphone having an impedance between 250 ohm and 600 ohm. Insert the connector from your microphone fully, then screw the retaining ring clockwise until snug. Compatible microphones include the MC43S, MC47, MC60A, MC80, MC85, MC90. Do not use the MC44, MC44DM, MC45, MC45E, MC45DM, MC45DME, MC52DM, or MC53DM microphone. Now, for the listener, the manufacturer has illustrated where the headphone plugs in and where the microphone plugs in. And then it goes on to talk about the connector pins that are inserted into the transceiver. In the first instance, under headphones, the headphones are connected to the opening as you face the transceiver, midway down on the left side. Below that is a larger ring area, perhaps a half inch or so, where there are female pinholes. The connector plugs into that microphone input. Now, the pin contacts are as follows, if this is important to you. It says MIC connector, front view. Looking or feeling the MC connector, front view, starting at the 11 o'clock position, the first pin on the left upper side is mic. It's numbered 1. Going to the 9 o'clock position, PTT is 2. Going to the 8 o'clock position, DOWN is 3. Going to the 6 o'clock position, UP is 4. Going to the 5 o'clock position, 5. 8 volt, parenthesized, 10 milliamp max. Going to the 2 to 3 position, 6 NC. Going to the 1 o'clock position, 7 GND, parenthesized mic. And in the very center is the GND parenthesis STBY. That's 8. Going to the rear panel. External speaker, parenthesis EXTSP. Ensure any external speaker used has an impedance of 8 ohm. Use a 3.5 millimeter, 1/8 inch diameter, two-conductor mono plug. When an external speaker is used, no sound is heard from the internal speaker. Warning: do not connect headphones to this jack. The high audio output at this jack could damage your hearing. Now for the listener, the external speaker would be connected. Looking at the rear of the transceiver, near the bottom right corner, right next to the very bottom corner of the blower fan outlet, is a small jack insertion area. You put your plug in there. Of course, wiring your own speaker for one provided by Kenwood would be on the back side of that particular external speaker. Going to keys and keyboards for CW operation, parenthesized paddle and key. For CW operation using the internal electronic keyer, connect the keyer paddle to the paddle jack. Now the paddle jack appears on the back side near the bottom to the very left bottom corner of the blower fan exit, the second opening in to your left. For CW operation without using the internal electronic keyer, connect a straight key, semi-automatic key, parenthesized bug, electronic keyer, or the CW keyed output from a multi-mode communications processor, MCP, to the key jack. The key jack is to the left of the paddle jack, going towards your left, down near the bottom. The jacks mate with a 6.0 millimeter, 1/4 inch, 3-conductor plug, and a 3.5 millimeter, 1/8 inch, 2-conductor plug, respectively. External electronic keyers, or MCPs, must use positive keying to be compatible with this transceiver. Use a shielded cable between the key and the transceiver. Note: due to the full-featured functionality of the internal electronic keyer, you may decide it's unnecessary to connect both a paddle and another type of key unless you specifically want to use a keyboard for CW. It's recommended that you become familiar with the internal keyer by reading, quotations, electronic keyer on page 34 before making your decision. Now, for the listener, I've already described where these two plugs go in on the back side of the transceiver, but there is additional graphic here. One related to the key jack shows the tip of the plug and how it should be configured, and an illustration related to the paddle jack, and that also shows the tip of the plug as to how it should be configured. If you are visually impaired or otherwise cannot see that information, you might want to be sure that a qualified person helps you to be sure you have the right plug-in configurations. This concludes the reading of Chapter 1, Installation, on page 3.